Hello and welcome to the Cynic Weekly. I am your host as ever. I was going to say something else there and elaborate a wee bit on that, but no, I'm just your host and aye, it's me. I'm joined by a very handsome, very bearded up man. That's the way I like my bowdies, to be honest with you. It's Christopher Tiberius Bowd. How are you?
I'm great, sir. Hail, hail. How are you? What are the point?
I feel as if I've not seen you in ages, Bowdy, to be honest with you. So I've been very much looking forward to this since I found out you were on.
I had actually put in a request to the big man that I'm not on any podcasts with you, so that's why.
Ah, right, okay. But you needed the money, so here you are.
That's it. Crawling back.
That's it. Happens to the best of us. And we're also joined by my best friend and yours. It's Christopher Somani. How are you, Christopher?
Not bad, Louis. Thank you for that introduction. Proud to be in the presence of greatness. This man rightfully shunted to the front of the queue at the Celtic Superstore. It's honestly, I'm a wee bit starstruck, so if there's any periods of silence, it's because I'm just gazing at Bowd.
Yep. Bowd on Twitter this week, didn't you? Completed it, Bowd.
I did. It was one of those. I hovered over the tweet button for a wee while thinking, do I really want this amount of staunchness in my replies? But
were you just up at the time?
It was 3 o'clock in the afternoon, so I probably.
Right, well, we've got a lot to talk about. I don't know how you guys are feeling, but I'm probably going to be pretty negative about things, certainly how they've been the past week, but I'm sure we'll get to that. To start off with the kind of news that broke today that Celtic are to take part in a four-team tournament in Australia. We're taking Ange back home. We're going to parade him. He's going to parade us in November. But apparently, unconfirmed by the club at least, but the elephant in the room is that one of the other three teams involved will be Rangers, and we will be playing a Glasgow derby in Australia this November. This is obviously during the Scottish Premiership shutdown for the World Cup in Qatar. Absolute load of nonsense, basically. Somani, give us your thoughts.
Well, I mean, it's Old Firm on tour, but I wouldn't be surprised if the club still had the cheek to call it the Glasgow Derby on tour. Yeah, I mean, it just it beggars belief. There must be phenomenal amounts of money on offer here that they've just literally decided that they want to do that. It really sticks in the craw in terms of the stance that the club's taking, and you know, the use of the phrase Glasgow Derby and all these things. You know, they're happy to. Let's be honest, they're pandering to us when they do that, but then they turn around the minute there's pound signs or Aussie dollars, whatever they're getting paid in, flashed in front of their eyes when it comes to arranging a tour like this. But you can't play a friendly against them. It just, there's that as well. It just leaves a bad taste in the mouth, Louis, to be perfectly honest. And, you know, it's pounds and pence probably that's been put in front of them, and they've just went, do we care? No. And that's where we are. Yeah, I imagine there'll be a lot of criticism from the fans in the coming days and weeks. I mean, as you said, I don't think the club have confirmed anything other than they're going to Australia, but all media reports and everything suggests that they're going to be involved, and that's not something that I thought I would see.
Bowdy, I don't know if you would be willing to wear a half and half scarf for some dingo bucks, but you know, it feels to me that this is just a massive kind of own goal again. Like, no one's going to be happy with us. No one's going to support this. It's a load of shite. We all know. We can all see it for what it is. I think the club playing games abroad, taking part in these sorts of tournaments and trying to play Celtic games, not competitive games, not league games for me, but playing games abroad, like we've seen when we went to America, we played Real Madrid and that sort of thing. I'm up for that. You know, when the time's appropriate, I'm definitely up for that. But the idea of going and playing a friendly against them, I mean, it's making a mockery of things. And it also feels like the club are you know, have we been lulled into a false sense of security here where we thought this club was starting to be run better, and then we're suddenly, you know, we're right back to, like, even some of the tweets I've seen getting put out in the past week, I'm like, hold on, that's like shite you were coming out with, you know, a year ago. Like, you think this is the start of maybe a downward trend again in terms of fan club relation?
It could be. I think it's just, it's going to be peaks and troughs with that, Louis, because ABAB, you know, always ABAB. All boards are bastards. Bye. It's a load of fucking shite. It's what the board always do. They're not just fucking horrible, but they're stupid with it as well. Because as much as, yep, I'm sure they will get paid a lot of money for this. I'm sure they could have get paid money without playing against Rangers. Maybe not as much. But if you're looking at that derby as a selling point, it devalues it. See, when you've got friendlies, this derby should never be a friendly. It isn't a friendly. So, you know, it's a game built on hatred. So having two reserve teams play a friendly, which is effectively what will end up being, I don't think does anything for the brand. So I think it's daft. I think it antagonises the fans. Personally, though, you know, I would do it once a month and just go to different countries and play a Glasgow Derby friendly, just make as much money as you can. But I'm not really.
Of course you would. Of course you would. You have to be sensible about it. The club have to try and tap into markets and build a brand exposure and all that sort of thing. Going to Australia, we've got Ange. Absolutely, it's a smart thing to go. Go and try and get a game in Japan at some point. Take the team out there. Try and build up the local knowledge of Celtic over there. But it doesn't have to be with us. We don't need to do it in association with them. It's just repulsive to anybody who's... Hopefully repulsive to anybody who supports either fucking team. I hope they're not sitting on the other side of the city going, ah, yes, brilliant, let's go over there. And I can't see it. None of the fans of these clubs are going to be interested in this. And it's tone deaf.
I would be interested to hear from the Australian fans. Because just putting ourselves in their shoes, getting to see Celtic, I'm sure they're delighted with that, having a wee friendly. Would they be that excited to actually see a Celtic Rangers game that they would throw all away and be all for it? You're never going to answer that, Louis, because you're not in Australia. But
I'm not.
Let us know, listeners.
So, Manny, do you want to pretend you're Australian and give us an answer?
I won't pretend I'm Australian, but you're talking about... See, when the rat came in, Rogers, one of the first things he did was bin those pre-season jaunt around the world friendlies that we did, because, and I tend to agree with them, that they're not for me. They're just, it's almost like they're just cashing in, you know, and despite what that does in terms of your preparation for the season, you know, we would be going to America and playing games and then coming back for Champions League qualifiers and things, and it was almost just like cashing in on any sort of penny that you can make. Now, it might be with the break that we've got, there is a window of opportunity there, and that's why they've done it this time. I would hope there's not a return to that, because it was just shite, if I'm being perfectly honest. But to do it in this guise, and it's... we've already said it. It's just daft. It's just madness. Reserve sides in a friendly, in a game that should never be a friendly and never will be a friendly. It's just bizarre, and it's just a cheap cash in, and I don't think they're going to get... I mean, will there be an appetite for it? Maybe from people who aren't that particularly bothered about either club. You know, there might be some people that think, I'd quite like to go and see Celtic play Rangers, but you're not really going to see Celtic playing Rangers. It's just, it's pish, man.
Aye. That's pish, and you know, maybe we'll revisit this another time when we get a wee bit more clarity about what the setup is, but I think we've kind of spoken off on it, to be honest. Let's get to the football.
You want to go back to talking about Australia?
I know. I wouldn't mind. We sat here last week, Samani, the Cynic Weekly recorded last week, and I think we all knew that the challenge of Bodo Glimt was going to be, it was going to be a bit of a mountain to climb, but not insurmountable. But, you know, there's no chance that this was a write-off, that we had no chance in this tie. You were Celtic, you've got to believe that you can kind of overcome things and you can win despite being the underdog, which we obviously were after that first leg, because the two footballing teams, regardless of stature of the club we're in, the two football teams look levels apart. But still, you know, a couple of goals, you know, only two goals in it. You're not going to, none of us were sitting here saying it's not going to happen. We were all cautiously optimistic we could pull something off. And we also sat here and said, Ange is the type of character that will relish this opportunity to prove people wrong, to kind of overcome adversity and all that sort of thing. The reality of it 2 days later was Ange chucked it. He chucked it at halftime. We sat here on Tuesday. We were all optimistic and believing we could do something. But Ange was sitting in house, or and certainly going to training, saying, nah, we're going to play a second string team. We played a B team. You know, we lined up with Joe Hart and goals, Ralston, Welsh, Starfelt, Scales, O'Reilly, Beaton, Rogic, Forrest, Gigi and Maeda. What I mean, I know it's been spoke about in pods and things like that since, but we have to talk about this because it sets the scene for the whole week that we've just had, and that's the point of the Cynic Weekly. What was your reaction to that? And am I being too harsh when I say that he chucked it, or what's your feelings on the whole episode?
No, I mean, even if you talk about from midfield to front, you know, you could maybe argue that there was enough first team players or whatever there, but to change three of the back four and have Scales, Ralston and Welsh in there just screamed to me, I'm not really interested in this tie. Now, maybe that's harsh, but that's the way it looked. And it seemed pretty evident from the performance, which we might touch on. But the thing that struck me about it, and it's the point that you just made, and I was on the reaction after it, was it was the most un-Ange-like thing that we've seen thus far. We've heard this as a guy who won't retreat. He won't change his style. He won't change his approach. And this is a guy who, when it looked as if we might get something against Pettis at home and a complete dead rubber, Brock Kyogo on and was famously injured. Now, I mean, that's all in the past, right? But it's really about setting what you thought the manager was and what his values were. And I'm not saying that he doesn't still hold them, but it wasn't apparent against Bodo Glimt on Thursday. And I find that a bit bizarre. I mean, the fact is there was a bit of silence on it. See if he'd came out and said, you know, we've got a lot of games coming up or whatever, and I decided to switch it up a bit or whatever, but he didn't. He just made those changes, which signalled what it was for him, which was almost like, you know, this game's done, and then decided to move on to the weekend. It was very bizarre. It really was. Obviously, the result on Sunday then, it's got people... I think if we had won on Sunday, people would have maybe just have moved on from it or maybe given it less thought. But now, because of that result, what people are linking it back. And I just find it odd because it just was out of character, or at least it seemed to be, you know, and whatever the reasons are, you know, it doesn't look as if we're going to get told what it was.
Rudy, yourself, I mean... As Samani says, I think that's the most kind of frustrating part, is that it's just so un-Ange. Like, none of us probably would have expected that. And it has kind of been brushed away a wee bit. Like, he didn't seem to really take responsibility for the defeat or anything like that. As far as he was concerned, it was a strong team that we put out. I mean, to think that, for example, somebody like James Forrest. James Forrest is a great servant to the club. He's been here all his career. He's been a massive part of what we've done over recent years, but he is not first 11 level player now. So it would be disingenuous to say that he was. Playing players like that who are not informed, that have no been about things, that are fucking past it.
I was in shock when I seen the lineup, but I didn't really... I wasn't as bothered by it as you are, clearly. Obviously, I want Celtic to go into every game trying to win it, every competition trying to... try to fucking win it. Doesn't matter if it's the Champions League. But I was kind of, you know what, fuck it. I'm more focused on what we're doing domestically. But and no argument that that lineup was basically a fucking reserve side. But Forrest, I think you're being a wee bit harsh in that. Absolutely. Is he in anyone's, you know, starting lineup if you've got all your players fit and ready? No. But to, I mean, he's not some fringe squad player.
A fucking chump.
This season,
he didn't play the weekend, did he?
No. But he's, no. You know, if it wasn't him, it's really the right, on the right, it should be a, you know, if it's not a bad, sorry, it'd generally be Forrest, unless you're putting in a Jota or a Maeda or someone that you're moving around, kind of thing. Roderick and O'Reilly, just strange considering how poorly, you know, that combination did not work, you know, before. So going with it again seemed like a strange move. Bitton, again, obviously not a first teamer for anybody, but see if McGregor's not there and Gucci's still not fit. He is your first choice defensive midfielder. And then the back four, again, it's only one person who should really be starting. But to be fair to Ralston, he's your number two or number three wing back out of all of our wing backs. So I could see him kind of saying, aye, these are players that should be able to play in this squad without a problem. Obviously it is a problem.
Welsh and Scales.
Rack off. aye, it was a fuck. He did. He basically just went, aye, I don't give a fuck.
Aye, he didn't give a fuck. Until half time, Somani, where he suddenly brought on Abada and Cal McGregor, which just seemed to compound the whole bizarre nature of the fixture. Because if
weirdly,
you're
we seem to do better after that, as well.
Well, I know. I mean, it seems odd, but what do you think the thought was behind those changes, Somani?
It was clear that the side they'd put out wasn't working and they wanted to change up and bring some impetus. And now we were better after the break, right? But see if you're coming on at half time of the second leg where you were already trailing for it, it is pointless. You're thinking at that point, well, at points during that game, I was worried that it could get a lot worse in terms of the scoreline, right? So maybe bringing on McGregor made the difference there in terms of that. But there was no chance we were going to go and take the game on. And you're thinking, well, if you've rested them up until now, why have you brought them on just now? I mean, it's the more I think about it, the more I find it a bit. I just find it a bit bizarre. And in terms of where we were at the start of the season, and when it comes to Europe, I mean, you touched on it, Bowden. I think there's a few folk that've said this. You know, that we're more concerned about the league this season. I'd maybe give that this season because it's Ange's first season and where we were at the start of the year. But I've got no appetite for this, no. For Celtic, you know, not bothering about Europe going forward. For me, and I've said that a million times in this podcast and in other podcasts, you know, Celtic's worldwide reputation, our reputation was built on our exploits in European football. Yes, it was some time ago, but it's, you know, what we've did there over the years. And even again, when we did it under Anil in Seville, that's what we're known for and that's where we should be and that's what we should be aiming for. And it's almost as if every year, you know, when we were going for the 10, it was, we can't not win the league this season because we're going for the 10. And now it's this season, we can't not win the league this season because if they get Champions League money, they won't go bust and things like that. What we need to do is we need to stop. I'm not saying we you want to and you have to try and win the league each season, but you need to have an eye in Europe. You need to have an eye in developing there at any level. People might be, you know, dismissive of the conference, but I don't think we can be dismissive of the conference because we've not won a knockout tie since 2004. So I'm prepared to kind of just put it to one side this season because of where we were and, you know, where we've come to. But ultimately, I think there's got to be a kind of inquiry. And I think they touched on the agenda about it in terms of that's Wall's reign kind of epitomised our poor poor outlook in Europe and things like that. Maybe so, but we are where we are now, and it's what we need to do is we need to kind of, we need to change that, whether that involves changes at the club, at board level and all that as well, or maybe if it needs a different approach and attitude from the management and the players, I don't know. For me, it's done this season, we're finished, but, you know, we really, really need to be putting more emphasis on it going forward, because it's where we should be.
And one, you know, one begets the other. If you're successful in Europe, that's going to lead to domestic success. It's, you know, I mean, playing against better teams, as you say, the prestige, the money, and stuff like, you know, Jota, trying to attract players like that, whether they have signed for us, whether they're on loan, being able to actually go into Europe and get results and get into the knockout stages, this is all stuff that's going to help us attract players of his quality.
Yeah, I just, I mean, to touch on that point you made about the agenda, you know, the agenda records on a Monday, so they're coming at it, obviously, before us on the weekly and get a chance to discuss things a wee bit closer to games and all that, and obviously we're going to get to the weekend and you know, things from Thursday were compounded at the weekend, of course, but I get the point about going back to law and all that and the board and the culture of the club and all that sort of thing, but I don't buy that. In this instance, I don't buy it. I mean, Ange wouldn't be the man that we all think he is. He'd be a shadow of the figure that we think he is if he's told by somebody higher up to throw a game, throw a second leg of a European tie. I mean, that's just nonsense. He decided to do that because it was his calculated decision based on the fact that we were maybe in the title race, or the game was already 3-1. He looked at them, he looked at Bodo and went, we can't fucking beat them over there. We've got no chance, so fuck it. To kind of go back to that, though, it does reflect on the whole club. It does, because it goes, his single decision, right, to field that team, fair enough, he's a manager, but how that looks and the optics of it reflect on the club overall. So I don't blame people for seeing it that way. And that's what I think that Ange has got to realise, that he can't do that. It's no acceptable for Celtic to chuck a European game. I don't care what the score was in the first leg. You don't chuck it at half time. You can't do that at our club. And regardless of whatever else is happening in other competitions, I don't think you would ever see them do that. And that fucks me off. I don't think them over there would never chuck a game at half time. And that fucking annoys me. Why are we doing it? We should never have done it. And the level of anger, I don't think there's been enough anger directed towards the manager for that, because it's another Ange mistake. Now, don't get me wrong, we wouldn't be where we are if it wasn't for him. I am not trying to discredit him and anything even close to it. But Somani brought up the other mistake earlier when he brought Kyogo on in the Betis game, right? He never started him. He wasn't going for it. But obviously, Ayeti got injured. He brought Kyogo on. We all thought at that point, because we were out, what's the point? There's no point to what he'd done. He made a mistake and it backfired. But see all these wee mistakes. And we previewed it last week when we spoke about the game. We spoke about his mistakes. He's making more and more mistakes. But his mistakes, just like a goalkeeper's mistakes, are fucking obvious to everybody and they're highlighted and they cost us. And it's got to change.
So you got... Sorry, Boudy. I don't know if you were coming in, but... She just to go back, I don't think Peter Law told any Celtic manager to throw a game, Lou, to be honest.
No,
I think.
I just mean the culture that had been
I'm only
embedded in the club.
I think what the agenda are insinuating is that under Law's stewardship, that ambition to go further in Europe wasn't there. And that's
absolutely,
I would say that's true.
I wouldn't argue with that at all.
What I would say is, to be fair to the manager, and, you know, he has made mistakes, but to be fair to the manager, I think what we can take from Thursday night is that, one, maybe the squad depth, even when we get the new players in January, isn't there, and it highlighted that the people that are in and around that squad are not good enough to play at that level. And when I say that level, I would say that Bodo Glimt are, certainly at conference level, a very good team. So at that level, there's guys like Scales, and I know that you've been a bit of a fan of him at times. Guys like Scales, guys like Welsh, guys like Beaton, you know, guys that we already know. I don't think that they're going to be able to perform at that level. You might be able to accommodate one or two of them in the team. You know, you might have been able to get away with like making one change at the back. You could have brought Welsh in for one of the centre halves, or you could have put a Ralston in for Juranovic or whatever. But not on that scale. And a lot of those players showed up that the deficiencies there. And I suppose that's one another reason why I'm prepared to say let's draw a line under it this season. Because of, again, where we came from and the fact that we're still trying to kind of get that squad depth up. And that squad depth also includes getting some of these guys just out the door, to be perfectly honest. So, for me, it's poor. I'm pretty much done with it now. But it's sticking a pin in it and saying Europe must do better. And I think that just the other thing as well is and seeing the Europa League. You know, there was... See the way that we went and played against Leverkusen. See if we'd done that against Bodo Glimt. I don't think there would be much of an issue here. It's, you know, we had some swashbuckling, you know, close defeats where we're conceding goals in the Europa League, and that was kind of a vision of what you wanted us to be.
That's what makes it such a clear and obvious choice, yeah, by the manager.
Which for me,
not do that.
Which for me makes us think two things. One, exactly, it was a choice to do that. And two, we can do a lot better, and we have to next season is the point I'm making.
How do you like to come into it?
Well, Sir Mary basically made a big point I was going to make about squad management, and I think absolutely we have to rotate players, and I don't think you could have held it against him if he had changed a couple, one, two players. But the level he went to was a wee bit too much. But hopefully we get to the summer, we strengthen the squad, and we're in a better position to manage stuff. You also look at the performances recently, and you do have to ask, is there either fitness issues there? Are people tiring? We know, obviously, all the guys that came from Japan have played a full season plus. But yeah, when you look at the performances, and obviously we'll get to Hibs as well, but people just look tired. They're just not performing the way they should be.
We obviously know about the likes of Liam Scales, Stephen Welsh, you know, that these players aren't at the required level, certainly not for kind of European ties against, you know, quality opposition. And, you know, the whole wider point about squad depth, I mean, it seems to be that we change our minds on this every couple of weeks. You know, we look at, we had the game against them, a game against Motherwell, and we were all very positive. There was no, okay, we're not saying we're the greatest team ever and we don't need to strengthen anywhere. We're never going to say that, but we were all pretty content with the options that we had and the midfield options especially and all that sort of thing. And I'm sure we'll come back to that later. But, you know, and then you have a bad result like this and people get fucked under the bus. And, you know, Nir Beaton had a terrible night that game, terrible game. But he has played well recently. And yeah, I mean, is he a starter? Should he be playing a game like this? No. But again, that just backs up the point we've kind of already made. The conversely, you know, if you look at the players who were on the bench, you know, we, by picking that team, we rested like seven or eight players, first team players. Now, so many, you know, the Bodo game, we lost 2-0, we lost 5-1 in aggregate. We move on, let's not talk about it anymore. But what it did do was it placed a hell of a lot of pressure on that game at the weekend. Now, every game in the league is already highly pressured because of the circumstance and the title race and how close it is. We had Hibs away. We know that it's been up and down for us. You know, we played the best 45 minutes of our season at Easter Road in that first half earlier on in the campaign. But over recent years, it's been hard for us to get results there. We've found it tough. So that decision, resting those players, put a fucking hell of a lot of pressure on the weekend. And the weekend comes and we cannot deal with the pressure. We drop points in the title race. Now, I know we'll caveat that slightly with the fact that points were dropped to the other side of the city as well. But to go on to the Hibs game, Somani, going into it, the team comes out, obviously, as we expected because of Thursday, We had pretty much, as most people kind of said, this was probably our strongest team, with the exception of Maeda for Kyogo. So we had Juranovic, Carter Vickers, Starfelt, Taylor, Rogic, McGregor, Hatate, Abada, Maeda and Jota. How were you feeling going into the game when you saw that lineup? Gigi obviously out because he wasn't well, but what were your thoughts?
I was happy with that. I mean, to go back to the point that you'd made about us bottling it, I don't know if we bottled it. I think we'll talk about the result and the, you know, and various things like that. But for me, it's the continuation of poor performances. It's the issue here. I'm not sure it's a question of bottle. I think it's a question of form, and it looks like tiredness. I think Boud said that earlier on. We thought that might have been less of an issue now because we've got some more players in. But you know, at the start of the game, when I seen the lineup, I says, right, go and win this. You know that, you know, you've done what you've done on Thursday. You know, Hatate's not really played in the European tie at all. He's been off form just now. This is a chance for him to go out there and shine. The starting 11 was, you know, strong enough. So yeah, when I seen the team, I was thinking, yeah, this is a game we just need to go and win.
Boud, yourself, what was your? How are you feeling about this tie after Thursday's game, for example?
I just really, well, first of all, delighted when I seen the lineup, because, you know, probably Kyogo aside, obviously that is probably the best starting 11 you've got. I think most people starting 11 would probably be that. I'm trying to think if there's anyone, you know, you could argue about O'Reilly and Rogic or whatever, but, you know, it's near enough. And as you said, just hoping that we kind of broke this rut, because the results against Bodo were nowhere near good enough. But as we've kind of said, the performances recently, even though we've been getting results domestically, haven't been where they've needed to be probably since Rangers or Motherwell. But didn't turn out the way we all hoped it would, did it?
No, it didn't. And I think, you know, you're right to bring up previous results in this kind of run of form that we've been in. So, Manny, we do the weekly every week. And it kind of does feel like you're in a bit of a silo, because you talk about what's happened in that past week. And probably because of that, and because, you know, we did beat Aberdeen, we did beat Raith Rovers. Fair enough, we had the game against Bodo, the first leg. But I think since that Motherwell game, if you really do look back at it, we've been piss poor. We've been in a pretty piss poor run, and we've done well to win games like we did the Aberdeen game. And I think this is part of it. That performance on Sunday was really, really poor. Like, probably the worst performance of the season for me. And it looked like a team who... It was in stark contrast to the team that played against Rangers or played against Motherwell, a team that looked absolutely desperate to win, had the bit between their teeth, who would throttle any team that was put in front of them. We now look weak, passive, disinterested, and I don't mean that individually, I just mean as a collective. They just look off it big time.
No, they do. What we'll say is, you were talking about the previous results, Bodo apart, right? We've always got there or thereabouts, right? And then even at the weekend when we drew, them drawing later was actually better than if we'd both won our games, right? So we'll come and talk about the performances in a second, but I think we need to say that there, that it worked out. We got away with one, but psychologically we're one up on it. I mean, it's for them to go 2-0 up at home and end up drawing 2-2 with Motherwell, that says a lot about where they are as well. So, but we've consistently said on this podcast, we need to worry about ourselves. And where I worry about is the performances. You're absolutely right. In terms of that, that was one of the worst performances of the season. I think the 1-0 defeat away at Livingston would take some beating, to be perfectly honest. But that was up there. And that's what's worrying. That's what's disappointing. That's what you're thinking. How come only a short few weeks ago, you know, at the start of February, when we played Hibs at home, you know, and we beat them quite comfortably, Hatate coming on. The Rangers game, which we thought was basically a, you know, a homecoming. It was the transformation. It was the announcement of this side kind of taking things up. To go from then, the Aberdeen game, still won away at Pittodrie, but, you know, the performance wasn't as sparkling. The Raith Rovers game was really, really flat. Dundee was a slog, and now we've got, we had that against Hibernian. It is concerning, and if the games are coming thick and fast, we've got a game tomorrow that we should think would be an easy tie, but, you know, I'm worried about it. And then we've got the big bogey man at the weekend. The big bogey, Livingston away, where everybody's, a game, again, that you really should be going and thinking that's a 3 points that we should be taking, but you're not. You're sitting here thinking about the fact that we've no won there, despite the fact that we're in the league for a long time. We've no won there since Martin O'Neill was the manager. So that's what's really concerning me. It's the massive drop-off in form. And I'm sure we'll come and talk about it, but for me, there's some players I think that should be brought into the team.
Rudy, I don't know. This is probably a bit of a dick of a question, but you know that way where the Gerrard team beat us for the first time and they were celebrating like fucking all that, and it clearly meant a lot to them. And it was like they had won the league by beating us, like finally getting over that hoodoo, beating us, that was them winning the league. Then their performances and their results suffered after it because they felt like they'd achieved something. I have a horrible feeling that that's where we're at. Like, we won that game. It carried on a bit to Motherwell because it was only a couple of days later. But then we've suddenly taken our eye off the ball, because you're not telling me that's the same team mentally or that played at the weekend to what it was against them. I mean, they play and look and have the kind of body language of a totally different side. Why can that be?
I mean, it's a nice analogy, but I think it's... I'm not gonna have that. We've still got the mentality, Louis.
I don't want you to have it, to be fair.
I think it really is. I think it's just fitness, people's legs going. There is, you'd imagine it's tiredness, because there is a right lack of imagination. And it is just get the ball to the wing and cross it, which, you know, when it's not working, we need to be able to do something else. And we've got players that should be able to do something else, but they just don't really. But when, I mean, we've had performances where we haven't did well, but we've not only won the game, but we've dominated, and we should have won it with the chances we've created. The Hibs game, I feel, was a wee bit different. Just even the, like, we had 13 shots, but three of them were on target. Normally, even our shit games, we're getting shots on target, and they might not be the most effective. And I know we've got XG that, you know, is a stat that exists, but shots on target is a very simple, did we fucking make the keeper do some work? Which three times in 90 minutes for Celtic doesn't work for me. We should be doing a lot more than that. With a similar problem against Bodo, obviously they were levels above, but they'd, you know, a fresh keeper in goals, why aren't we testing them more? And as I say, even when you look at the Dundee and the Aberdeen game, we had 19 and shots and 6 on target, 12 for Aberdeen and 5, so not great, but better still than Hibs. So I'm hoping that's, I was going to say peak, that's the, whatever you call the opposite of a peak, the valley, the very low point of our performances in St Johnson, we come back and we smack them about, Lee, which is what's going to happen. And then Livy, it's going to be 5-0. I'm not even going to know what's happened to them.
Aye.
Even improved aye. Celtic.
Aye, that'll not be happening, but so Manny, it feels like the game against Hibs, they had times where they pressed us, they were confident, they pressed us well, but a lot of the time they were quite happy to sit deep. They were very well organised, well drilled, and we just did not look like we couldn't be arsed breaking them down, I don't think, to be honest with you. The one thing that bothers me a bit is that we seem to have went from a team of a proper team where we're a collective, we're a group, we play in units, everybody knows what everybody else is doing, I feel as if we've now became a team of absolute individuals. Like, Jota's an individual out there trying to do his own thing. Abada's the same. Hatate is the same. He was dreadful at the weekend, by the way. Fucking awful. I mean, Boudy, you've been better at fives than he was. Couldn't he play five-yard passes?
That's a harsh level to compare him to.
I know.
He's stolen about a fives pitch.
And then you've got Starfelt and Carter Vickers, who are like just trying to get the fuck away from each other, to each other, you know, just passing it between each other. That game was really stark for me. Like, you could see in the first 20 minutes, man, we weren't going to win it. Like, it just seemed obvious that we were not going to take full points for this game. And again, it's just like, why can we be so good a matter a couple of weeks ago and be the, you know, exactly play in the way that Ange wants us to play, and then we go to this and we just look like, you know, we've never played under him before? I mean, it's got to worry him, despite his comments after the game somehow.
Yeah, I mean, we could talk about his comments. I didn't like his comments, you know, in terms of a few of the comments. Yeah, I think people have kind of suggested that he's trying to protect the players, but I don't like that, because we had that under Lennon, and, you know, we've had it over the course of history where you've watched a game and then you're told something that you don't, you know, yeah, that you didn't see or you didn't kind of witness during that. But that is what it is. If he's not concerned about the performances, which he will be, you know, that would be where the problem is. I think you're right in terms of, we're looking disjointed. You're saying that we look like individuals. I think that's because the team as a unit's a bit disjointed, and we're now trying to get a flash of genius out of Jota or, you know, Rogic or whatever, and you can't really rely on that. Certainly not the way that the side was built up. The side was built up for quick passing, you know, trying to get the ball about to find space, which we didn't do. I mean, if you've got a team that are sitting in, I mean, the Hibs for me looked comfortable at times, but they were fairly toothless in attack. You know, it was like, I think that game had draw written all over it, because I think that's what they seemed happy to go for. But with regards to us, in terms of breaking them down, and it's, I suppose it's a lesson that's going to be coming up at the weekend, you know, see when they play tight and compact like that, you really, really need to move the ball about quicker. You need to have, you know, a lot more movement, you know, to have the Hibs players, the Hibs defenders, thinking about it, instead of they look really comfortable. They shuffled side to side as we moved the ball without any purpose, and it was really just tepid. And that's what's worrying about it. The hopeful thing is, it was only a few weeks ago that we played that way against Rangers and against Motherwell, and to a slightly lesser extent against Hibs. We know what we're capable of. It's just getting back there. I don't know if that's a spark that we need. I don't know if some of the players in the middle of the park are, you know, we're running on adrenaline and now don't. But there probably needs to be some changes, I'd say. Certainly in the middle of the park, I'm thinking, we can maybe touch about it, I'm thinking Ediguchi. You might want to bring Ediguchi into, and I think it was Alan yesterday in the agenda said, as a number six, if you will, and move McGregor forward, because the problem seems to be more so around, you know, you've got Rogic, Hatate and O'Reilly, and they've all three of them have fallen off a cliff. So if you can bring Ediguchi in there and move McGregor up, you know, you might get more energy in the middle of the park. You might get more of an attacking impetus from McGregor, and it means that you can bring one of them in. So that's immediate thoughts, and I know I've kind of rambled and moved on to that, but for tomorrow's game, for me to freshen it up, one thing I would like to see would maybe be Ediguchi in the six.
Really, because he's a fucking unknown and you don't know what you're going to get. I mean, it's a hit and hope, really, but Ediguchi into it. But, and it seems mental that we're at that point where we've, only games ago, as you say, we were hailing Hatate as, you know, the greatest, and him, McGregor and Tam or O'Reilly were the best midfield three that we've had in years. And yet suddenly now it feels like we want to throw in a guy who we really have seen nothing of, and we're just hoping that he's going to have something that the rest don't.
You're pretty negative, mate.
It's a load of pitch. I mean, you'll be wanting McCarthy in next, for fuck's sake.
Hey, I wouldn't rule that out, my man. I wouldn't rule that out. But anyway, Ediguchi, I think, yeah, I mean, you've got to assume that there's, I mean, you're saying he's an unknown and it's like a roll of the dice. I mean, people were fairly excited when he came in, along with Maeda and Hitachi. We're not just writing these guys off now at the start of March. Hitachi, you know, assuming he's fairly fit, he's fit after what, you know, a really terrible tackle that he got against Alloa. That gives you something different in there, and it allows you to move McGregor up and change up the impetus of the midfield. If he's as comfortable in possession as he is, he can maybe get the ball out wide more and move it up. So for me, it's something I think I'd like to see happening. Back on the U, it's just a punt in the dark, man. Angry wee man.
Listen, I'm like vintage you. You've changed, that's what it is. Bowd, you know, Somani's kind of touched on it earlier, but put the weekend in context for us. What happened with him?
He blew it. He absolutely blew it. It was glorious to behold. 2-0 up. 2-0 up at home. Had to think about that there for a second. To Motherwell, who had been a bit shite. And then, you know, obviously, Morelos. I don't know if you've seen the guy try to get his autograph for a tattoo.
That was delicious.
He had 2 goals chopped off. Perfectly legitimate goals, I'm, you know, told by our blue-nosed, I was going to call them brethren. Blue-nosed.
Cynics.
Yep. But
you know who you are.
Get it right round them. 2 each. It was delicious. And as Sir Manny says, it shatters them mentally because it's not, you know, we drop points. That's bad. It's bad for us. But they're going into that. They've got the hope now. Yes, we're back in the game. We're back in this title race. Celtic have blew it. The glorious Glasgow Rangers are going to stream right to victory and they fucked it. And it was gorgeous. Absolutely loved it.
It was superb. I was in the depths of despair thinking I was going to get some slagging when I go to work the next day, and nowhere to be seen, so they were. Samani, though, I mean, I know you did make the point earlier, but does it have such a big psychological effect? And also, what does it do for us? Because, you know, to flip it, yes, I'm being very negative, but I'm only being that way because it's genuinely how I've been feeling since the last couple of games. And I'm not going to come on here and start pretending that everything's fucking fine and looking on the bright side. You know what I mean? I just don't think there's any point to that. That's not what we're here for. But if you do flip it for a wee second, that's the worst we've played all season and it didn't cost us anything. If we can learn from it, if we say, right, we're going to improve now, that's as low as we get, then it could be massive.
Yeah, I mean, it's not the hammer blow that wins us a league, clearly not. It isn't that. But psychologically, for a number of reasons, that was really, really huge. Again, I said it before and I'll say it again. See if we'd won our game 1-0 and they'd won their game 2-0, 3-0 or whatever, we would have come out the weekend and that would have been it. Yeah. But for that to happen and unfold the way it happened, what with us playing before them, playing very poorly, them getting into that game, taking a 2-0 lead and then being pegged back by Motherwell, that's a huge missed opportunity for us. We could also, you know, in some respects, say, oh, we could have went 5 points clear. But the way it unfolded, we came out of that weekend better than they did. Even though we both took a point, we came out of that better in terms of the title race. Now, the caveat in this is the performances. You know, if we struggle again Wednesday and again on Sunday, you know, the idea that they're going to keep doing that, I don't think that's the case. But if we get results, I mean, we want better performances, obviously, but if we come out of these next 2 games with 6 points, you know, I think that's massive. It's about churning it out and going forward. We need to play better to do that, but psychologically, I don't think we can underestimate it. You know, that's a game that they would have thought that they had sewn up, and they didn't. And they'll be starting to ask questions about the mentality of the side. And, you know, let's not forget they were on a massive high from Thursday. They were laughing at us, rightly so, in terms of how bad we were in Europe. They beat Borussia Dortmund over 2 legs. whatever you think about Borussia Dortmund, and they did look very poor, they still beat them. They were on a massive high and they went to a crushing low by tea time and Sunday night, and we can't underestimate that.
Now, Boudy was so staunch earlier. You know, he's such a big blue nose that he was talking about St Johnstone getting pumped by 5 goals tomorrow. It's in fact Rangers that are playing St Johnstone tomorrow. We are at home to St Mirren. Different team.
I did say St Johnstone, but the 5-0 pumping was for Livy at the weekend. So.
Aye.
Damn your Jets.
You fucked it. I mean, obviously we've got the cup as well, but the primary focus now, obviously, as it kind of always has been, is the league. So let's kind of, you know, we don't usually spend too long in the games that are coming up because naturally there's more to talk about in games that have happened. But Boudy, if we look at the midweek fixtures first off, we are at home against St Mirren. St Mirren have obviously lost a manager recently to Aberdeen, but they have brought in your man Robinson, who was at Motherwell, who went to Morecambe and things like that. But they're obviously going to be adjusting to a new manager and stuff. But the primary thing going for us is the fact that we're at home. It's a home tie against St Mirren. Rangers are away to St Johnstone. Their away form is absolutely shocking. St Johnstone, don't get me wrong, have had a wretched season themselves, obviously, and currently find themselves second bottom on 23 points. How can you see, and I don't want the easy, you know, rebel-rousing answer here, they're going to get pumped 5-0, we'll win 5-0, but how do you see the games going? Because it would on paper look like it's a great opportunity for us to right some wrongs, and they're going to be in with a tough away fixture.
Aye, I mean, I think looking at it, the reality is we'll probably both take 3 points, but you know what? I'd bloody love it. I'd bloody love it if they drop points. I think, no, I do. I genuinely think this will be the start of the turn back of our form. I think the other important thing you're mentioning, it's the midweek game. I hope I'm not blowing it Mars, but I think this is our last midweek game of the season. We'll be kind of clear run from now because the cup games will all be weekends. I don't know if there's any midweek league games, but I'd imagine we're looking all right.
I'm happy to say you're correct, yeah.
Good. That's what I like. St Mirren obviously weren't doing particularly well. You wouldn't expect St Mirren to cause us trouble when they play against us anyway. I think the players, it has just been a bit of tiredness, a bit of lack of form, which happens. You know, we've went there on a 20 odd games undefeated in the league. You're going to have dips in form at some point. You're going to unfortunately have games that you draw that you would hope to win, and I'm just hoping we've got that behind us. We go out, he plays his best 11, and they start to show us what they can do again.
So Manny, what do you want to see in terms of performance? How do we approach it, and the changes that you've made? You kind of highlighted maybe bringing Ediguchi in, but in general, what would your team be overall?
Tomorrow, well, I would back five. Picks itself. The goalie, Hart, obviously. If Taylor's fit, Taylor plays for me, Juranovic, Starfelt, Carter Vickers. In the midfield, I would like to see Ediguchi, I think, McGregor, and then one from Roger Cooper O'Reilly. Both of them have fallen off a cliff. Hitati, I'm working on the assumption that Hitati is needing a bit of a rest. Now, I know he got a rest in the two Bodo Glimt games, but I'm working on the impression that he maybe needs a wee bit of a rest. So I would maybe have Hitati on the bench tomorrow. And then the front three, assuming I would like, this is it, the moment to shine, Louis. Gigi. I'm hoping that Gigi's fit. I think obviously he had a wee bit of form with a Dundee game, and then he wasn't fit for the game at the weekend. But I would play Jota, Gigi, and Abada. And Maeda would drop to the bench. So that would be my choice right now, I think.
And how do you know, what do you want to see from us most of all in terms of how we play?
I won 3 points. I mean, we're talking about performances, and you know, we're getting to the point where it's about putting wins together. I'd like to see a lot more impetus.
By any means necessary, basically.
Yes, indeed. I'd like to see McGregor get involved a wee bit more further forward. I think that's why I'm talking about moving him into the eight. I think he could be an impetus for us going forward in terms of getting the ball out more. So I'm hoping that he'll kind of spark it. Spark a performance, but if we're being perfectly honest, you just want 3 points. You want to get that. You'd think tomorrow's a game that we could perhaps have a wee springboard. We're always thinking that Sunday's going to be a wee bit more difficult. You can't look past tomorrow though. So I'm hoping that a wee mix up in the midfield might give us a wee bit more of an attacking impetus.
I would definitely avoid the Rodri Riley combo.
All right, get out to fuck. Well, I mean, Bowdy, how do you feel about your younger brother, Dyson Maeda? Do you think is he a bit of a turkey, do you think?
No, I think that's a lot of nonsense. Yes, there's been a dip in form, which the whole team's seen. So I think it's a bit harsh. There's been a lot of Rio, Hatate and Maeda haven't been at races. The whole team hasn't been at the races the last few games, but I would agree. I would be giving Gigi the shot if he's fit and ready to go.
The thing about Maeda is, I think he was some people. In fact, I think a lot of people picked each separate one of the players that came from the J League in January and said they might be the best one. But I think even some of the analysis guys and some of the YouTube stuff I'd seen, Maeda looked really, really quite exciting. So yeah. Even if we're just comparing him against what we thought we might have been getting from his YouTube video, he has looked pretty poor. I mean, he's still been on the score sheet a few times for us. No writing the guy off in any way, shape or form. But these performances are why I'm saying Gigi should start tomorrow, Louis.
Talking about the top scorer in the J-League versus the top scorer on the Eredivisie. I mean, it's the kind of problems you want to have.
I'm going to light up this massive cigar. First world problems.
Fantastic. Hi. So that's kind of St Mirren dealt with. The game of the weekend, though, I think the game of the weekend is, again, massive. I think it's a massive test for us. It's a massive test of, well, a few things. How far we've came as a team. What kind of form or headspace we're in right now? Can we arrest things against St Mirren and then build on it against Livingston? Because I think if we go there and we beat Livingston away, I think that will be a massive thing for the fans, more so probably than the players, because a lot of the players are new. They don't really have this kind of stain that's been on us about not being able to get results there. But Bowdy, I mean, are you placing much importance other than 3 points on the game at the weekend? Do you think there's a psychological battle to be won?
Normally I'd say that's all bollocks and, you know, we're Celtic, we go there and we try to win 3 points. We don't care about who does, but yeah, I mean, Levy has been a bit of a nightmare for the last several seasons. So yeah, I think it's good for the team to just get past stuff like that. And just show themselves and the fans that we don't need to worry about it.
I'd like to see us put Julian in instead of Starfelt. give him a chance to right some yep. wrongs, man. Because Starfelt is going to be the next Julian against Livingston. I can see it now.
Madness. Starfelt's fantastic.
I know. Before the Twitter accounts start having meltdowns, I'm only joking. So, Manny, how are you feeling about the game on Sunday? Is it a load of shite? Am I talking pish? Is it just 3 points? Who cares?
No, it is a bit of a thing in my head. I think I've said before that it's a bit of a thing now. Whereas, see that 8 month away, one thing that was, you know, when we won at Pittodrie, I didn't really believe in that. Whereas this one, it's like, no, I'd really like us to do it. I think part of it's because it's a horrible stadium to go to. The pitch is absolutely horrible. They just play tight, stuffy, minging football. You'd love to get a result there by any means necessary, just to kind of put it to bed, because it's
just get past that.
Just get past it. So, I mean, we're talking about performances and stuff like that, and yes, I'd like to see a massive upsurge and upturn in our actual performances. See if we get a 96th minute winner and it bounces in off Gigi's arse. I do not care. It's just about getting 3 points there, because it's a horrible venue. They're a team who you'd much rather not play for a million reasons, the pitch being one. And it's just, it's in your head now, so just put it to bed.
Did you adapt the team in any way for that game? I mean, you've obviously kind of picked your team for St Mirren. Do you just stick with that? Do you change your style of play on a pitch like that? You know, with it, with the fact that we have struggled there, I mean, do we do things differently, or do we just go with full strength as you see it?
It's why you need to. Everybody's talking about Sunday, but you can't talk about Sunday until tomorrow's done, because you need to see. Say they do play Adeguchi, right, and he's rotten. Then you're starting to go, okay, we're not really wanting to play him. But he comes in and, you know, he's fantastic in that position, gets the ball forward. He's immediately in your thoughts. So, you know, you can't pick what happens on Sunday because you don't know what's happened last night. But if you're wanting a prediction, Adeguchi's going to come in and star over the next two games. There you go.
I think if there was ever a game where you would play or there would be, you know, some kind of logic behind playing Tam and O'Reilly together, it would be the game on Sunday. You know, because they are probably just going to sit back. It's going to be difficult for us. We need a creative spark from somewhere. Putting your two most creative players on there when you're going to be dominating their third of the pitch, probably for 90 minutes, when we don't want to go down the route of trying to put in crosses, which is all we seem to be doing just now, we're not going to get any joy out of that. So that cannot be the tactic at the weekend. It's got to be play through them, play nice football, exploit spaces that we hopefully create for ourselves. If there's two players that could do that, in my mind, it would surely be O'Reilly and Tam. And we've not seen it from him. I think you're right, Bowd. We don't want to see it maybe tomorrow night. But I think there could be an argument for it at the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. Potentially. It's, as you say, that every Livy game that you watch and you think, you know, we should have got something there, it's because there's no creative spark. There's nobody trying anything different. You know, we've put it out to the wing, crossed it in 25 times in this game already. That doesn't seem to be working. Try something else. So, yeah, it could do. But you're forgetting about the main man. Rio Hitati comes back, thunder bastard, 40 yards out. That's how you break them down. That's how he comes back into the fold.
Do you know what I love about this? We're just now inventing scenarios in our head. I've picked Adeguchi. Bowd's now got Hitati. Go on. Liam Scales. Tell us, Liam.
Oh, Louis, a James McCarthy, man. Time for him to shine.
I'll be right. Right, listen, it's getting ridiculous, as Samani says, so we'll probably leave it there. Rather than ask you for predictions, score predictions, let's give me a points prediction. Do we take full points? Do we take 6 points for these two games, Bowdy McBowderson?
Aye, 6 points in the bag. Celtic going all the way.
Fantastic. Samani, yes, you're holding up six...
Six fingers.
It was just one hand. Two thumbs and four fingers. Aye, good. I agree with you. I think we will win it. I think we have to win the 6 points. I think if this wee rot continues, it could be catastrophic. And I know it sounds daft when you're 3 points ahead, but something's got to change. And if that wee slice of luck on Sunday doesn't change things, then we'll probably get real reason to be worried. But anyway, again, as usual, we'll be back next week. We'll talk over it. We'll see what happens. Bowdy, it's been great, man. It's like the old times, but without gal talking shite. It's been nice.
It's been delicious. I'm a big fan of less gal and more you guys.
Yeah. Thanks for being here. So, Manny. It's been really nice. Hopefully I'll meet you in a pub sometime soon. We could get a wee pint or something, you know, talk tactics.
And that'd be good. I think that should be that should be on the cards, aye. And I just concur. More you guys, less gal.
Yeah, I think on the last we'll maybe set up a wee Bitcoin wallet, and if people want to donate pints to us, they can send them our way. But I'll get back to you on that one. This has been the Cynic Weekly. It's been an absolute joy and a pleasure as always, and we will speak to you down the road.